church? Hell no. Are you no longer feeling comfortable in church? This podcast is for individuals who are desperately missing God, but don't know how to find Him. Substance abuse, domestic violence, sex offenses, acrimonious divorce can contribute to discomfort in the church. For these individuals, church is just not an option anymore. Ordained minister Dennis Hall and his guests invite you to listen to this podcast for topics that are inspiring, uplifting, and will bring hope to those who just feel church is not relevant in their lives today.
I'm Dr. Dennis Hall, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast today. It's an exciting time of the year in the Christian church. I don't know if it's me or you, but it seems like as we hear all these reports about attendance declining in Christian churches across America at alarming rates, it seems that I see more and more people wearing a necklace with a cross around their neck. And I think there's something to this, actually. I haven't seen any studies about it or any surveys about it at all, but it's just my observation. And, you know, a few years ago, I was at a motorcycle event in North Florida, and there was a man selling jewelry in a kiosk on the grounds of the event. And as I was overlooking his inventory of fine jewelry, I noticed he had a selection of crosses on necklaces. And he began to tell me that the crosses on necklaces were purchased by a wide variety of people, and then he said, not just Christians. And when he asked me whether I'd be interested in purchasing a cross, I told him that the cross was special to me because I was a Christian, and then he realized that Christ had died for us and was crucified on the cross. And I explained to him how God had designed the cross to defeat Satan, the deceiver, and how Satan's power was broken at the cross. You know, the scripture tells us this in 1 John 3:8, when it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. I explained this to the man and how God had overcome Satan, overpowered Satan, and brought himself and man together. And gradually, I was able to pray with this man about his life and the promise of eternal life with Jesus Christ. An amazing thing happened. With tears running down his cheeks, this man picked up a cross on a necklace and walked around the counter and clipped it around my neck. And to this day, in fact, right now, I frequently wear this cross. Now, I was not surprised at this man telling me that many people besides Christians bought his crosses as jewelry. You know, frequently on TV and on my computer, I see individuals, musicians, actors, actresses, rappers, others whose lives seem to be anything other than religious wearing crosses. It makes you sort of scratch your head. And I'm not suggesting that we Christians are perfect in any way. You know, the scripture tells us that we're all sinners and have gone astray. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just saying that my observation is there are some people, really famous people sometimes, wearing crosses whose lifestyles seem to be anything other than a lifestyle of a Christ follower. Now, what happened on the cross is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, it's one of the most horrific methods of execution ever devised. Historians think that the crucifixion was created by the Persians around 500 B.C. and that it was practiced until it was outlawed, first Christian Roman Emperor Constantine in the early 4th century. And this method of execution has continued to be used even in modern times. You know, under the leadership of Adolf Hitler, Jews were crucified at Dachau, and Nazi soldiers crucified Allied soldiers with bayonets and knives. And under the leadership of Pol Pot, the Khmer Rouge performed crucifixions in Cambodia. And today, we hear about and read about crucifixions that continue in the Sudan and other African locations. You know, the pain of crucifixion is so horrendous that a word was invented to explain it. Excruciating. Excruciating. It literally means from the cross. A crucified person can hang on a cross for days, passing in and out of consciousness as they struggle to breathe. The prolonged suffering, to prolong the suffering, the executioner would put a block of wood under the buttocks of the victim, and as you might guess, the victims would glide their butt off of that block of wood to cause their deaths to be sooner. Well, the executioner would take nails and nail their genitals to the block so that they couldn't do that, to simply prolong the suffering. And, you know, we hear all kinds of horrible things about crucifixions. And typically this was done in public places so that people could come and watch and mock and to see these victims sweating and bleeding in the sun. And once dead, the victims were not usually given a decent burial. In fact, their remains were left there for the vultures and other scavengers to feed on and then eventually thrown in the dump. Now, crucifixion was quite common in the ancient world, where tens of thousands died in this fashion. For example, history tells us that when Spartacus died in battle, 6,000 of his followers were crucified in one day. You know, the Romans, they forced their victims to carry the cross to the place of execution. And while they did this, they would carry out a practice known as scourging. The Roman soldiers would tie nails and glass shards to small, multi-tipped whips, and they whipped the victim's back until only muscle and bone was showing. And historians tell us that sometimes victims' babies and small children were killed and then hung around the victim's neck while they were dying through crucifixion. Crucifixion is horrible. You know, Christianity was outlawed from the time Jesus was crucified until the early 4th century when the Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity. It was during the 4th and 5th century that many Christian churches were built with financial help from the Roman government, and they included crosses in their architecture. And Emperor Constantine even authorized the excavation of some of the holy sites of Christ's life in the area that we know as the Holy Land. And during these excavations, it's believed that Constantine's mother, Helena, uncovered pieces of the cross. It's said that a miracle healing took place when a sick woman touched one of the pieces of this cross. And believers at that time felt that this proved it was a section of the actual cross of Jesus. Now, Constantine built a large church, the Martyrium, over what is assumed to be the location of the tomb of Jesus. Now, the cross has not always been a cherished object for all Christians. Now, for instance, during the Reformation, Protestant churches rejected the use of crosses and crucifixes, you know, where Christ would be seen on the cross. In their view, it was just a human invention. And so it was rarely seen in the early Protestant churches. And they claimed that the crucifix, cross with Jesus on it, was an object of idolatrous Catholics, and if the cross was used at all, it was without the figure of Jesus Christ on it. And then during the Middle Ages, the cross became connected with a series of religious wars from Christian Europe to liberate the Holy Land from the grasp of Muslim rulers. And those who chose to go and fight would wear a special garment marked with the cross over their daily clothes. And they came to be known as crusaders. All this taking place by the late 11th century. Crusaders were able to conquer Jerusalem in a bloody battle that did not spare women and children. And these crusaders also sparked waves of active hostility toward Jews, resulting in outbreaks of violence against Jewish communities for centuries. So the cross has sometimes been a spark of tension in the Christian world, and a spark that contributed to things that's a darker part of the history of the development of the church. You know, the cross also has played a role in some of the darker times in the 20th century. Cross burning became a form of intimidation against African Americans, Jews, and Catholics, and others that the Ku Klux Klan hated. This practice of burning crosses dates back to the 14th century Scotland tribes, when they burned crosses as signaling devices. Then in 1915, a very popular, and I might say controversial, film was produced that played a crucial role in the revival of the Klan, which had declined after the Reconstruction here in America. And in the film, Klan members chase and catch an African-American man who had pursued a white woman, and they ultimately lynch him in front of a burning cross. And not long after this film's appearance, a cross was burned on Stone Mountain outside Atlanta, Georgia. And shortly thereafter, a cross was burned in nearby Marietta, Georgia, to celebrate the lynching of Leo Frank, a Jewish factory manager who had been accused of raping and killing a white Christian girl. You know, as the Klan grew in numbers and influence, cross burning became an important ritual for this group. You know, Klan gatherings, not only would crosses be burned, but members dressed in hoods and sang songs, Christian songs, like Onward Christian Soldiers and The Old Rugged Cross. The burning of crosses was a terrorizing tool that sadly continues to pop up today. But Christians on the whole find these kinds of things deplorable and disgusting. The Christian community sees the crosses as a symbol of faith, that Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross and his death and resurrection offer salvation to humanity. Now, Christians also view the cross as a symbol of victory over death and sin, which was conquered by Jesus through his sacrifice on the cross. You know, it represents not only the suffering of Jesus, but the ultimate triumph over death and evil. You know, today the cross, it's present in most Christian churches as a symbol of worship, prominently displayed on the altar or on the walls of churches. Now, the cross is the central symbol of Christian faith. You know, in a quick search that I did on the internet, I was able to identify more than 50,000 Christian hymns that refer to the cross. Despite the role that the cross plays in the Christian faith, it's become a popular fashion statement in recent years. Jewelry and fashion designers have incorporated crosses into their designs, apparently because they think it creates sort of a bold, edgy look. And, you know, Christians wear crosses for religious reasons. But many people wear them simply as a fashion accessory. You know, designers have experimented with many different materials and styles, including studded leather cuffs and oversized statement necklaces and understated, delicate, minimal pieces. Some incorporate other symbols or elements, such as skulls or chains, to create a unique look. Now, crosses have been featured in high-end fashion shows and worn by celebrities on the red carpet. Now, I know many Christians are not disturbed by seeing the use of the cross in these ways and simply see it as a way to celebrate and honor the history and cultural significance of the cross. I want to tell you, I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those Christians. I don't see it that way. I find this flippant use of the cross in jewelry offensive and disrespectful to the religious significance of this symbol. It causes me to wonder if the most sacred images of other religions were worn as fashion accessories by half-naked women and rock stars. Would it create a protest? Would it create a protest? My guess is it probably would. It probably would. And I think this flippant use of this precious symbol of the Christian faith, the cross, will contribute to the marginalization of the Christian faith. You know, as a veteran, I have the same reaction when someone falsely claims that they've been in the military. It's offensive. It's referred to as stolen valor. We now have a Stolen Valor Act as part of federal law. It was passed in 2013. It makes it a federal crime to falsely claim that you were in the military or claim that you have some kind of lofty rank in the military or that you earned awards with the intent of obtaining money, property, or other tangible benefits. Now, you probably know that a number of retailers offer discounts to veterans. I'm delighted to get those discounts and delighted they're providing them to my fellow veterans. And many of the retailers require us to prove that we are an honorably discharged veteran to get those benefits. But there are others, so even some restaurants that will provide discounted prices to veterans just based on your word of honor that you're a veteran. Now, people who deceive and lie about their military service can easily be spotted. They usually cannot provide specifics about dates or locations of deployment, and they use phrases that would never be used in the military, or such as someone who claims they served in the military saying they had shore leave. It's easy to identify these people. I've experienced it myself, watching people be deceitful about this. Let me suggest some things to the listening audience. Cross necklaces are to be worn by Christians and Catholics as a symbol that they follow Christ. You know, if you do not believe in Jesus, you may want to avoid wearing a cross around your neck. No, you may want to ask yourself whether you're comfortable wearing a jewelry item that strongly identifies with a religious group. If you do not share their beliefs, I don't understand why people would do that, but there are some who are doing that. And are you wearing a cross? I'm just asking, are you wearing a cross to hide who you really are? Or are you prepared to answer questions that Christian members of your family and friends may ask about why you're wearing a cross? That may happen. That may happen. You know, I frequently will say to people when they come up to me and they're wearing a cross, I may say to them, oh, Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And from time to time, I have somebody simply say, no, nah, I just bought this because I liked it. Well, that's the kind of explanation that you may have to make at some time. Now, I've been talking a little while here in this podcast about crosses and how I feel about the cross that hangs around my neck from time to time. And as I conclude this podcast, I think as all of you know, we're in the days leading up to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And crosses will be prominently displayed on the lawns of Christian churches and used in sunrise services on Easter morning. You know, although I and many other Christians find the cross as a mere fashion accessory to be disrespectful and offensive, we're reminded by Jesus' death on the cross to love those who disagree with us and extend kindness to them as Jesus extended kindness to us. And so it is that my prayer is not that non-believers will no longer wear crosses, but I pray that they'll come to understand what Jesus did for them so that they can wear the cross as a symbol of worship and not just fashion. Let me say this. I'll just share one story with you about the symbol of the cross that was very meaning to me. I had the opportunity to be serving with missionaries in China on the Korean border. Small children were swimming across that river to escape the poverty and the starvation that exists in North Korea. And in that sort of atheistic, communistic country, somebody had taught those children that when they get to China, find a doorway that has a cross on it. And I learned while I was there that Christians who were forced to be underground in their faith that put small little crosses on the threshold of their door. And these little children would find those doors. And they would take them in. And then they would get those children to missionaries who were running underground orphanages. The cross is an unbelievable symbol of the Christian faith. Thank you for listening to me during this Easter season, and may God bless you.